Hey folks, it has been a long time since I did a podcast, but I had a few days off and I thought I might try to get back into the swing of things. Anyway, welcome to the show, and you're listening to This Week in Nuclear, a podcast where I talk about the peaceful uses of nuclear energy and how nuclear energy will make our world cleaner, safer, and more secure. My first reaction was, wow, did I read that correctly? It was one of those aha moments when a seemingly mundane fact or statement leapt out of the page and whacked me on the forehead. This time, the catalyst was a Twitter reply from Chris Pragman, who describes himself as an avid podcast listener, engineer, nuclear power, fire protection, and beer geek who has a long commute. You see, I had posted a tweet earlier in the day about the cost to taxpayers of some green energy jobs. There's a new wind farm in Oregon called the Shepherd's Flat Wind Farm, and they received federal cash grants totaling $490 million under the guise of green energy job creation. And for that grand sum, the Shepherd's Flat project will create 35 new permanent jobs. The math is easy. At $490 million for 35 jobs, it's $14 million per green energy job. Hey, our tax dollars at work. This tidbit about Shepherd's Flat was part of a larger report by the Energy Tribune that, among other things, compared the relative size of U.S. government subsidies to various energy industries. The report by Robert Bryce concluded the renewable energy industry receives 6.5 times more federal government subsidies than the nuclear industry and 12 times more than the oil and gas industry. Well, that fact really didn't surprise me, considering the billions of dollars in grants, production tax credits, and favorable depreciation rules the government lavishes upon anything branded with the renewable label. Then Chris asked a great question. What do they consider nuclear subsidies? When I dug into that, I learned that the Congressional Budget Office is tasked with tracking the amount of government subsidies to various industries, and they periodically publish their findings. There it was on page 3, nuclear industry, $900 million in subsidies for, quote, favorable tax treatment of nuclear decommissioning funds. I wondered what that could be. You see, every nuclear plant owner is required by federal law to set aside funds to ensure that there'll be enough money to pay for decommissioning the plant when the time comes. Typically, plant operators add to the funds each year, and over time, the funds grow until they're used. The NRC monitors each decommissioning fund, and they'll require plant owners to make additional payments if they think they're behind. These funds are essentially forced savings accounts, and they add considerably to the annual operating cost for each nuclear power plant. So what's the favorable tax treatment that they were referring to in the CBO report? A little more digging, and I learned that under Title 26 of the United States Internal Revenue Code, it's stipulated that interest or other investment earnings of nuclear power plant decommissioning funds are taxed at only 20%. Now, maybe I'm alone in this, but being required by law to set up a fund and then being taxed on the fund's growth hardly fits the definition of a subsidy to me. Other sources of energy are not required to set up such funds. They carry the potential future cost of dismantling equipment as liabilities on their balance sheets. In the case of nuclear plants, they're forced to set aside capital in government-mandated and monitored funds, and then the government takes 20% of the fund's earnings. Anyway, in 2009, the Congressional Budget Office calculated this favorable tax treatment to be worth $900 million, and they call that a subsidy. Now, that's quite a different kind of subsidy when you compare it to the cash grants, tax credits, and accelerated depreciation enjoyed by the renewable energy industry. Personally, I have a tough time viewing this as a subsidy at all. Anyway, Chris, hey, thanks for asking the question. I learned something new today, and maybe all of you out there did too. Hey, before I wrap up today, I just wanted to make a little announcement and a note that in December of 2005, I published the first podcast and blog episode for This Week in Nuclear. So on the 27th of December, This Week in Nuclear will be 7 years old. I want to thank all of you out there for supporting the blog and the podcast over the last several years, and looking forward to a great 2013. This is John Wheeler for This Week in Nuclear. Have a great nuclear day.